afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining this call. My name is Margaretta Strand. I'm the Executive Vice President of Public Citizen. We're sorry we're running a few minutes late and getting this call started. It's been a very busy day here in our nation's capital, and we appreciate all of you joining us to talk about what has happened over the past few days and the last week, which even under this president and all of the scandals and things we've encountered, what we've seen in the past few days has really been extraordinary. We're dialing out right now to thousands of people across the country, and we're soon going to be hearing from Public Citizen's President, Robert Weissman, who will talk some about what has happened over the past few days and where we go from here. Public Citizen is proud to stand with Speaker Pelosi and over 200 members of Congress that are now on record calling for impeachment. And we will be talking today more about what's at stake and what we all can do in this crucial moment in our country's history. One thing all of you can do right away is go to our website, www.citizen.org, and sign our petition calling on Congress to move forward with the impeachment of Trump. And we know that we have a president who does not respect the principle of our democracy. But now with Trump on the record acknowledging that he urged Ukraine to conduct an investigation into political opponent, we really have reached a tipping point. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Again, for those just joining, my name is Margaretta Strand. I'm the Executive Vice President of Public Citizen. And right now we're calling out to tens of thousands of people across the country. And in a few minutes, we're going to be hearing from Public Citizen's President, Robert Weissman, about what is happening here in D.C., the latest information that we have about what's going on in Congress, and also what we all can do. These next few days and weeks are going to be crucial as we all need to be working together to demand that the impeachment moves forward. We really appreciate all of you joining. We already have over 3,000 of you on the line with us. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy days. I'm sure all of us are glued to the newspapers and Twitter and everything else right now. We thought it would be good to bring us all together to hear from Public Citizen's President Robert Weissman about what's at stake and where we go from here. We also want to hear from you, and if you want to ask a question or be part of the conversation, you can dial *3 to ask a question and weigh in. So *3 so that you can ask a question. And also, if you haven't done so yet, please visit www.citizen.org to sign our petition calling on Congress to impeach Trump. Again, Public Citizen stands with Speaker Pelosi and all the members of Congress that are now on record calling for impeachment. And we're going to be hearing from Public Citizen President Robert Weissman about what's at stake, what's happening in D.C., what we know about things that will be happening around the country, and what we all can be doing to support what's happening. So thanks again for joining us. We're going to get started in about a minute, and I'm going to turn it over to Robert Weissman. If you do want to ask a question, you can dial *3 on your phone, and that will put you in touch with one of my fine colleagues who will take your questions. We'll try and get through as many as we can. We know many of you are paying close attention to this, and we really appreciate all the work that you are doing to fight for and protect our democracy. We've done a lot of work over the years together, and now we are in this unprecedented moment given what we've seen happen in the past week. So with that, in the next minute, I'm going to turn it over to Robert Weissman, who is the president of Public Citizen. He will give us a little bit of an update about what's happening. Before I do, if you could take a moment to visit www.citizen.org to sign our petition calling on Congress to impeach Trump, that would be greatly appreciated, and we'll talk more on this call about other ways to get engaged. With that, thank you all for joining. I'm going to turn it over to Robert Weissman.
Thanks, Margaretta. Thanks, all of you, for joining on the call. As Margaretta said, this is Robert Weissman, president of Public Citizen. We put this call together, this town hall discussion together, really on the fly. We really wanted to get in contact with you all and have a conversation, talk to you about our decision, to call for Trump's impeachment, outline what we think needs to be done in light of the impeachment proceedings that are now underway. I'm going to talk for 10, maybe 15 minutes or so, and then we'll have a chance to have a little bit of conversation. The call is not going to go very long, so if you hang with us, I think it'll be worth your while. I wanted to cover two broad areas. One is just to give a quick update on what's going on. I'm sure some of you are obsessively following the news and know every little detail, and I know a lot of you don't, and some of this stuff can get confusing, so I wanted to just review that. And then I want to focus more on what we're doing at Public Citizen, how we're looking at the issue of impeachment, how we understand it, what do we think is at stake, what do we think needs to be done, and what it is we hope that we all can do together. Let me begin by just talking about this story now in the news in very brief outline to try to simplify it as I understand it. So this is not everything about Trump, which is quite extraordinary, but what's been going on over the last week, what we've learned about Trump and Ukraine. I think we're going to learn a lot more in the coming days, but the outline is at this point pretty clear, and we can tell the story pretty simply. After Ukraine elected a new president, President Zelensky, Donald Trump got on the phone with him and asked the Ukrainian president to investigate his political rival, Joe Biden. Donald Trump acknowledged a couple of days ago that he did that. His lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, acknowledged that Trump did it and he, Giuliani, did it. And we've now received today a sort of summary, partial transcript of the conversation between Trump and Zelensky, in which we see Trump repeatedly asking for Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden. That on its own is an astounding abuse of power of the kind that would have been utterly unimaginable prior to Donald Trump taking office. It is absolutely a violation of his oath of office and his duty to uphold the Constitution. It is absolutely sufficient on its own without regard to anything else that's happened in the presidency or anything else that has gone on in the Ukraine story to impeach him. However, there is more. The surrounding facts strongly suggest, and in fact, even that transcript, which Trump himself was willing to make public for unknown reasons today, suggest that it wasn't just a request, it was a threat, that unless Ukraine investigated Biden and did other favors for Trump, not for the United States, but for Trump and for his political interests, that the United States was going to withhold hundreds of millions of dollars in aid and assistance for Ukraine. And in fact, at Trump's direction, the U.S. government had been withholding aid and support for Ukraine. So he didn't have to, the president of Ukraine didn't have to imagine this was going to happen. It was actually already occurring. And although Trump didn't say as directly that if you don't do what I want, you will not get the money, that's pretty clearly in this partial transcript that was released today. And there is a lot of reason to suspect that as more information comes out, we're going to see surrounding facts that lend very strong support to the notion that he was actually trying to extort Ukraine into investigating Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden. And, of course, that's an order of magnitude worse even than what we know to be true, what is acknowledged to be true and revealed today unequivocally in this partial transcript / notes, the pressure on Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden. So that, I think, is the nub of the story. There are going to be a lot of details, but that's the core of it. Now, step aside from the Ukraine story, let's just talk for a moment about what impeachment is. Just a quick reminder sort of the civics overview of this. People use the term impeachment to refer to the general process of investigating and acting on president's misconduct. But in constitutional terms, it has a more narrow meaning. Impeachment is the process that the House of Representatives undertakes by majority vote to impeach a president, to find him guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors worthy of being ejected from office. But, of course, that's not the end of the game. After the House impeaches, the impeachment must then be considered by the Senate, which must choose to either convict or not convict the president. And that conviction requires a two-thirds vote. So very hard under any circumstances, extremely hard to imagine under the present circumstances with an incredibly partisan Senate that has a majority Republican membership. In terms of what's going to happen now with the process that is underway, let me get to that in a second, but first just to remind you, as we go through this, if questions are coming up or if you have questions that you know from before, you can get in the queue for questions by hitting *3 on your phone. So what's going on now is, although a kind of impeachment inquiry was already underway, it's now at a much more formal stage with Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi's announcement yesterday. She has instructed 6 congressional committees to investigate wrongdoing by President Trump related to possible impeachment and to funnel their findings to the Judiciary Committee, which will be the primary committee drawing up, investigating and drawing up articles of impeachment, assuming they find cause for impeachment, which I think is a near certainty at this point. That will eventually move to the floor of the House for a vote. There is now a near majority of members of the House of Representatives who say they support impeachment, and I think it's a near certainty that Donald Trump will be impeached. The timetable for that is not yet clear. It's likely to go for several months. I think it's reasonable to imagine a vote on impeachment in December, perhaps January, although caveat, everything regarding Donald Trump is unpredictable, so we can't really know for sure. Once the House votes to impeach, will he be convicted in the Senate? Well, the odds are very heavily against that, as I mentioned, given the partisan nature of the Senate, but it's not for sure. So I think how that plays out depends in significant part on what we do. And I'll come back to that as really this primary theme for this conversation. Okay, so that's an overview of what's been going on and how impeachment is going to proceed. Then I wanted to talk just for a couple minutes about how we are assessing the issue. On the merits, as I indicated just a moment ago, I mean, we think what is now known and undisputed about Trump's engagement with Ukraine is on its own sufficient for the House of Representatives to impeach him as president and for the Senate to convict him. We think it's highly likely that the story is worse than what is already known and that we're going to learn a lot more in the coming days and weeks. And also that there are many other reasons that Donald Trump has committed many other impeachable offenses, that his abuses of power, his obstruction of justice, his violation of the Constitution's anti-corruption clause, known as the Emoluments Clause, his disregard for his oath of office. It's pervasive in this administration. There are multiple rationales for why Donald Trump could be impeached and now should be impeached, particularly in light of the Ukrainian scandal. Here's how we see our role in this and how what we think is at stake. I think there is some significant political risk now with impeachment. We know how Donald Trump is going to respond to this. We've seen it from Trump. We've seen it from Giuliani. We also happen to see it from talking points that the White House accidentally shared with reporters today. Trump is going to lean into this story, as he does so often, and say, of course I did it, and I did nothing wrong. I was just out to investigate this corrupt story involving Joe Biden. And he's going to try to muck things up. That's one problem we face, one potential hazard. Another potential hazard we face is that this stuff seems esoteric and removed from people's day-to-day lives. Ukraine seems far away and exotic and hard to get your head around, and that people don't feel sufficient, even if they think he should be impeached, they don't feel sufficiently passionate about it for it really to come together with a strong national sense that the president should be removed from office. Those factors raise the possibility that not only will the Senate not convict following a likely impeachment, but that Trump would emerge stronger from the process rather than weaker. And I think what's really at stake is what we do and whether we ensure that he emerges weaker, whether or not he's convicted, that he emerges weaker from the process rather than stronger. And that'll depend, I think, very much both on how the members of Congress conduct the impeachment inquiry and the impeachment process and make the case in the Senate, but also on what we do, we, the people on this call, actually us, as well as hundreds of thousands and millions of other Americans. But a lot will actually rest on what we do. So let me just give you a quick sense of what I think we can do, we public citizens, all of us together, and then I'll pause and we can start taking questions and have a conversation. And again, let me remind you, the way to enter that conversation is to hit *3 on your phone to get into queue for Q&A. Again, I think what we have to do is tell a really clear story about not just Trump's abuses of power, but why they matter to people, and not let him get away with confusing things. And we have to show and evidence massive support for protecting the Constitution, defending our democracy, impeaching the president, and convicting him in the Senate. So more concretely and specifically, what does that mean? Well, for us and the staff here at Public Citizen, it means that we can bring to bear our expertise on constitutional issues and serve as experts as the public debate unfolds. I expect to be testifying at a House Judiciary Committee next month on the impeachment process, focusing on Trump's corruption and violations of the Emolument Clause. I think you'll see us playing a role in a lot of commentary on the constitutional issues and core democracy issues. I think we have a role to play here from the office in Washington, D.C., but all of us together in communicating out what's at stake and doing it in a really clear way. So it's actually going to matter if you talk to friends and family about this and help carry the case forward and make sure that people understand both what happened and why it matters so much, and why it matters so much that they speak out. We are going to be very involved in working closely with the leadership and the House representative, with Speaker Pelosi's office, with the leadership of the House Judiciary Committee, and with the Senate Democratic leadership as we go forward with the impeachment process. And we'll be able to be a bridge between what they're seeing and what we need to do on the outside. And the last thing, which I think is actually the most important thing, is we're going to play a really important role in mobilizing people around the country to speak out for impeachment, to visibly speak out for impeachment. That means emailing your members of Congress, calling them up. Even if they're on board, they need to feel it and hear it, to feel supported and to be stronger. If they're not on board, even more important to weigh in with them. It means showing up at town hall meetings that members of Congress have. It means holding rallies and news conferences around the country. And we're going to be giving you a lot of information on that. Hope you can also sign that petition at citizen.org. That'll be, if you sign that petition, not only are you making a statement, you're telling us that we should be more in touch with you about this issue in particular, and we'll keep you fed with activities and updates. We're going to be, with Move On and others, we're sponsoring a rally the Capitol tomorrow. I'll be speaking there. I'm trying to, again, immediately show the public outrage and demand for action. We're collaborating with Indivisible and many other organizations with activities in districts around the country as members go back to their districts for congressional recess, which will start next week and go for over a two-week period. This thing's going to run for several months, and we are going to go full bore, all out. It very much matters, now that impeachment is underway, that it happen and it occur and unfold as effectively as possible with the clearest messages and the strongest support possible. We have to ensure that Donald Trump is weakened, not strengthened, by this process for all the reasons that are very obvious to you. And whether or not we achieve that depends on what we do together. So very much looking forward to that process with you. Let's talk for a few minutes now. If you want to get in the queue, hit *3.
Thank you, Robert. And I'm really happy. We have over 6,000 people on this call with us right now, and it's just so humbling and awesome to be able to be in this conversation with you, for you to jump on this in this call with us on short notice. We're going to take a couple of questions. First, we're going to go to George Godas. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your last name, George. He has a question that is about Vice President Pence. George, are you on the line with us?
Yes. Yes.
Want to ask your question?
Sure. No, no, go ahead. You're doing fine.
No, you ask it. I'm putting you on. You please ask the question. Thank you for joining us.
I think, and I wonder if you agree with this, that if Pence becomes president, let's assume that Trump is impeached and removed from office, wouldn't things be worse if Pence became president?
There's no question that's a pick your poison kind of choice. I think it's a little, you know, I think it's a little different now than it would have been earlier. Time-wise, Pence wouldn't have much time in office, and he'd be a very weak president for the remainder of the term. So I don't think he'd have the opportunity to sort of really unfold the unique kind of harm that he might bring to the office of the presidency. I also think, and this is not the calculation we're making in supporting impeachment, but it's responsive to your question. I think Pence would be a much weaker candidate than Donald Trump. For all of his bizarre attributes and the monstrous nature of his presidency, he does have a special way of connecting with people, and he is an effective campaigner. I don't think that's true for Mike Pence. So, yes, I find the prospect of a Mike Pence presidency to be terrible and terrifying. But I think if it were to come to that, I think we'd be better off than where we are, particularly given the juncture of time we're at.
Before we go to the next question, if you have a question, you can dial *3 to get connected to one of our fine colleagues who will take your question. But we're going to go to California now, to Beverly Alexander. Beverly, are you on the phone with us?
I have to get up.
Yeah, here she is.
Great. Beverly, do you want to ask your
question? Yes, I want to ask my question. at this point, this impeachment thing is seems to be about Biden. And what I was wondering about was, it seems like there have been all kinds of impeachable offenses committed by Trump over most of his presidency. And I was wondering if the reason that the Democrats are finally stepping up to the plate is because he's attacked one of their own, or is this a different, more serious level that's easier to prove?
That's a great question. I think it's more of the latter. I don't think it's a matter of just trying to protect Joe Biden at all. I think and you're absolutely right. The horrors of this presidency is really unlimited. But as an abuse of power, I think this one feels categorically worse than the others. Not necessarily a policy problem. I think that there's a long list of policy wrongdoing that is more consequential in my view than this. But as a corrupt abuse of power, this one is really startling. It's clean and it's simple. It's not as complicated as the Russia story has been, or other stories around the presidency. And it also has to do with the functioning of the next election. So I mean, there is something to that. If the current president of the United States is going to corruptly abuse his power for the purpose of undermining the legitimacy of the next election, well, what choice is there other than to move forward with impeachment?
Well, and following on that, we're going to go to Beverly, who I think you are in Pennsylvania, who has a question also kind of related to this. Beverly, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, I am.
Want to ask your question?
Sure. I'm wondering if it's more effective to have one reason for impeachment or all the different egregious reasons for impeachment that we have already, from the Mueller report and the obstruction of justice, whether it's more effective to have several things or one main thing, like the abuse of power with the Ukraine.
Yes. I'm of sort of two minds on that, and among friends I'm hearing some different points of view. I think it's going to get resolved sort of by splitting the baby, if you don't mind the term. I think that the Ukraine story is going to be front and center. That is going to be the thing that's driven home, that's more deeply investigated, that is a top-line thing that drives the overall narrative. Simultaneously, I think that there will be further diving into other abuses of power and corruption. I expect that the final articles of impeachment will refer to a number of acts of wrongdoing and patterns of wrongdoing, but that front and center will be Ukraine. And I think there's a lot of things that could be included that won't be. I think they'll stick to the things that feel like less like policy differences and more like corruption and abuse of power.
If you want to dial *3 to be part of the conversation, feel free to do so. We're going to spend a few more minutes together. And again, if you haven't yet signed our petition calling on Congress to impeach Trump, we really hope you will do so. And you can find it by visiting www.citizen.org. One question, Rob, that came up from a caller who I think had to jump off was, you know, we're hearing different information about what's going to come out from the Trump White House in terms of the whistleblower report, redacted information versus redacted. Is that going to matter in terms of what's happening with the impeachment process?
So there's no way to know, what we're going to get. What the White House has said they're willing to release has been vague and also changed over time. And moreover, since they routinely lie, you can't actually trust anything that they say. It will for sure matter. The more information we get, the better. At this point, and again, things are happening so fast, it does appear that the whistleblower who first raised these questions is likely to testify before House committees, probably the House Intelligence Committee. That likely will be in secret, so how that plays out, we don't know. The Director of National Intelligence seems in the last few hours to have said he absolutely does want to testify, and he's uncomfortable with the position that the White House has put him in, which is basically obstructing Congress. There were reports that he threatened to resign if he weren't permitted to testify, although he's now denied those reports, so it's hard to parse out what's happening. Again, these things have just happened in the last hour, maybe the last 2 hours. The more we know, I think the worse this story is going to get. As I said, what's singular right now is what Donald Trump himself acknowledged a couple days ago and what this partial transcript summary of the conversation with Ukrainian President Zelensky reveals. That is enough for impeachment. So the story can get worse. It can maybe get much worse. We can get a lot more clarity around the extortion and the withholding of aid with more information. The Washington Post reports today on extraordinary role that Rudy Giuliani seems to be playing in conducting U.S. foreign policy as regards Ukraine, and possibly even other countries. It's hard to say. So there's a lot more we can know that will make the case for impeachment even stronger, but we know enough now. What we're going to actually learn, I don't know, but this one does seem to be on a trajectory where more information is coming out quickly. I guess the last thing to say is there seems to be a fair amount of backlash within the Republican Party to Trump's decision to release this partial transcript, like Republican senators saying, why did you do this? You know, now we have to defend your indefensible statements if it had been secret, if you'd kept it covered up, we could have at least claimed we didn't know, and now we're stuck. So there could be reversal and this somewhat uncharacteristic decision by the White House to actually share information. We're just going to have to see how it plays out.
All right. We're going to go to Connecticut. David, are you on the phone with us?
I am.
Do you want to ask a question?
I'm just wondering, in light of what you just said, Bob, just a minute ago, I was wondering if there has been any expression of support from any Republicans, obviously on the QT, for the impeachment process. All we hear, I mean, the Democrats are all on board. I just wonder if there's any Republicans that have finally got off from supporting him.
The direct answer is no. There are some somewhat interesting caveats. One thing is, it's been completely overlooked today, but the Senate just voted again on a resolution to overturn Trump's emergency declaration in order to move funding from the Defense Department to build the racist wall with Mexico. 11 Republicans voted for the resolution against Trump. So there are some breaks. And then if you're just reading some of the news accounts of this, a lot of Republicans are very uncomfortable with the position that Trump's putting them in. They don't see how they can defend what he did and has now revealed to himself to have done in the conversation with the Ukrainian president. They're not saying they're for impeachment, but they are expressing, sometimes overtly and in a lot of cases sort of off the record or in private conversations that they know are going to be reported, a lot of discomfort and unhappiness with where things are. At the end of the day, whether any of them break off for impeachment, I think it's going to have a lot less to do with the merits and a lot more to do with public sentiment.
So we're going to go to Florida to St. Augustine. Marjorie, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, I am.
Great. Glad to have you. You want to ask your question?
Yes. I've been thinking that Nancy Pelosi has right along opposed her fellow congressman in calling for impeachment of the president in spite of all these crimes which he has really committed against our democracy, on the basis that the Senate, being strongly backing of him, the Senate Republicans, they will not vote to impeach him. So I'm wondering, what good does this do? We know he has been violating our Constitution left and right. If they vote against impeachment, will not this not strengthen Trump's background supporters all along? I mean, what good is impeachment now? I think our concentration should be on defeating him in the next election. That's where I think we should concentrate. I think this is a diversion.
So I think that is a great point, and honestly, it's been a major worry of ours as well. And as you say, we're not something special that we thought. It was plainly the motivation for Speaker Pelosi in resisting, you know, real pressure to push forward with an impeachment process. I do think that at some point it becomes just very hard to justify not moving on impeachment as the list of outrages grow. But also, I think even more importantly, and this is how, again, that's sort of the takeaway for the call, I think, impeachment is happening. So whether it should happen or not is no longer a question. Now it is happening. And I think what's most important is, does it happen well or not happen well, which is another way of saying, does it lead, and assuming he's not convicted by the Senate, does it leave Trump stronger or does it leave Trump weaker? And in that regard, I think it's not a sideshow, because it's now a fact, and it's going to be on us to make sure that it leaves him weaker. If you reflect on this presidency and you reflect on the performance of the congressional Democrats, whatever you think of that, in terms of their resistance and opposition, they do better when the public is demanding they do better. You know, the Women's March the day after the inauguration, that completely shifted how the Democrats were going to handle Donald Trump. They felt steamrolled and on their back. They were ready to cut deals, but they were buffeted in a way that was unimaginable by the turnout of the Women's March. In the health care debate, we defeated the effort of Trump and Republicans to overturn the expansion of Medicaid and the protections of the Affordable Care Act because of the mass mobilization. It wasn't just that it brought over a few Republicans to vote against Trump. It also was crucial to make the Democrats stay strong. So the Democrats will be better, and the public will get this better, and Trump will end up weaker, and senators who support him will be weaker if we do our work. We're going to have to figure out exactly what that means, and we're going to have to be supple and flexible. You know, I think those are things that we, a public citizen, do very well, and I think it's things that we collectively have done very well for a long time, including during this very difficult period of the presidency.
So we have time for one last question. We're going to go close to D.C. to Melanie Galloway in Maryland. Melanie, are you with us?
Yes.
Do you want to ask your question?
Sure, and Bob touched on it a little bit just now, but you also reiterated, Bob, the fact that our charge is to make sure that this impeachment process makes Trump weaker and not stronger. And I was wondering what that means in terms of what public citizen, other groups, and concerned citizens should actually do. Now, you just mentioned that we don't have that figured out yet, but I'm wondering if you had any thoughts initially that we could start thinking about ourselves, about what we can do as individuals, as well as supporting other organizations to make sure the outcome is in our favor and not Trump's and Republicans' favor.
Yeah, that's what a perfect way to end the call, so thank you for that. I don't want to suggest that we don't know what we think should be done. I think all I'm saying is it's going to unfold in ways we don't, you know, that no one can anticipate over the next many months, and so we're going to have to be nimble and adapt as things go forward. I think the two overarching things are to tell the story really clearly about Trump's abuses of power, and particularly about this frontline story of Ukraine, and not let it get confusing. And second, to visibly demonstrate support for impeachment. So, you know, for the staff here and for all of you on the call, those mean somewhat different things. But I think telling the story is really talking to people and emailing people or whatever social media you use, if any, but really having those conversations both, because this stuff is important, and I think some people feel, I'm worried that some people are going to feel like it's just another thing, and it's, you know, it's not drug prices, so what's it matter to me? Well, it matters to you if the democracy works or not, and we have to together have these conversations across the country. And then again, it might feel trite, but I can't tell you, I can't emphasize that. It is the thing that makes a difference. When we take visible positions, it changes the national conversation. It changes the way the media look at issues. It changes the way the opinion makers think about stuff, and it changes what members of Congress do. So that means signing the petitions and doing the emails and calling the members of Congress, and it most importantly means, if you can, being physically present at town halls, taking meetings at your members' offices, participating in demonstrations, and so on. And again, if you live in a district where your member is a hard-charging supporter of impeachment, they still need you out there. You will make them better, and you will enable them to do other things. And if you live in a district where the member is unsure or opposed to impeachment, even more, we need you out there making the point, being physically present. And that's, of course, just on the House side. Same deal applies in the Senate. And, of course, our job is to help you understand how to do that, to see where the opportunities are, and we're going to be in touch with you. Again, if you sign that petition at citizen.org, not only are you making a statement right now to support impeachment, but you're telling us that we should be in more frequent touch with you about ongoing impeachment activities. And I can promise you we will be in touch. We're going to be doing a lot of outreach, a lot of organizing as long as this process goes on, because we think so much is at stake. It's such a joy and an honor to work with all of you. Thank you so much for getting on the phone with us. We will be in touch. Thanks so much.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great night.